Screenwriter Paul Haggis had never made a movie before last year, but he's making quite a splash as a Hollywood rookie. His first film was Million Dollar Baby, which won this year's Oscar for Best Picture. His second film, Crash, opens today with his name on both the writer's and director's credits. NPR's Bob Mondello says Haggis handles both assignments well.
Bright, upscale Restaurant Row in Los Angeles, packed on Saturday night. Two young black men leave a restaurant annoyed at bad service. Probably one of them observes the waitress, also black, figured black people don't tip. And in fact, they didn't tip because they didn't like the service. The banter is brisk and witty until a formally attired white couple comes by, the white woman hugging her husband's arm just a little tighter as they pass.
You see what that woman just did? You see that?
Like, she's cold.
She got colder as soon as she saw us, though.
Oh, man, come on, don't stop.
Man, look around you, man. You couldn't find a whiter, safer, or better lit part of this city right now. But yet this white woman sees two black guys who look like UCLA students strolling down the sidewalk, and her reaction is blind fear? I mean, look at us, dog. Are we dressed like gangbangers? Huh? No. Do we look threatening? No. Fact, if anybody should be scared around here, it's us. We're the only two black faces surrounded by a sea of over-caffeinated white people patrolled by the trigger-happy LAPD. So you tell me, why aren't we scared?
There is a pause before the other man answers, because we've got guns? Then, in an adrenaline-pumping pace change, they steal the couple's car. The next scene is at the home of the couple, and your heart kind of goes out to the wife for a second, until you discover, as she scowls at the Latino guy who's installing new locks on their doors, that she's more than a little racist.
I would like the locks changed again in the morning. And you know what? You might mention that we'd appreciate it if next time they didn't send a gang member.
A gang member?
Yes, yes.
What, you mean that kid in there?
Yes, the guy in there with the shaved head, the pants around his ass, the prison tattoo.
Those are not prison tattoos.
Oh, really? And he's not going to go sell our key to one of his gangbanger friends the moment he is out our door.
We've had a really tough night. I think it'd be best if you just went upstairs right now.
And what, wait for them to break in? I just had a gun pointed in my face.
You lower your voice.
And it was my fault because I knew it was going to happen.
The Latino guy hears all this, of course. It's meant for him. Then we follow him home, noting that he does look a little worrisome with all those tattoos, until he peeks into his daughter's room and finds his 5-year-old hiding under the bed.
There's no monsters in class, right? Because I hate monsters.
There's no such thing as monsters.
Oh, that's a good thing.
I heard a bang.
Like a truck bang?
Like a gun.
That's funny. Because we moved out of that bad neighborhood, and there's not too many guns around here.
How far can bullets go?
They go pretty far, but they usually get stuck in something and stop.
What if they don't?
You thinking about that bullet that came through your window? You think we should move again?
I like it here.
Me too, but if that bullet found out where we lived...
Still sound like a gangbanger? Director Paul Haggis keeps introducing characters you feel you know after a few moments, mostly to prove that you really don't. Get mad at a sexually harassing cop or a cruel mother, and you'll soon find reasons to sympathize with them. Start to like a detective who's on the side of the angels or an immigrant trying to hang on to a piece of the American dream, and you'll discover they've got dark sides. This low-budget movie offers a surprisingly complex portrait of urban life, which may be why it attracted a named cast. Don Cheadle, Matt Dillon, Sandra Bullock, the rap star Ludacris, Brendan Fraser, and others all do subtle, nuanced work. Haggis gives them a couple of hurdles to overcome. He's fashioned the plot as a daisy chain, with each storyline looping into the next one, which means it's hard to build a character in a conventional sense. And structurally, the director is a tad over-enamored of formal pairings. Two spoiled rich couples, one black, one white, two sons who disappoint parents, two sets of traumatized immigrants, and so forth. That's a little too neat for a story that's all about the mess we make of race and discrimination, but it ends up giving the film a spine when it reaches for operatic heights, and reach Crash does, more than any film in quite a while, in a breathtaking last half hour where storylines mesh, characters crash, and everyone behaves in ways that are, Hollywood stereotypes notwithstanding, all too recognizably human. I'm Bob Mondello.